welcome to season 5 of the Spotlight series, Don't Just Survive, Thrive. This podcast was born out of the 2020 global pandemic. Season 1 was launched to help people through the pandemic. Season 2 focused more on work-related issues such as HR, marketing and leadership. Season 3 and 4 centred on startup founders and tech leaders, revealing the secrets to their success. The focus of season 5 is about how technology can have a positive impact on people and planet. My name is Nicola Steele, founder of JJP Talent Solutions, an Australian IT recruitment company. I've had the privilege of talking to numerous tech leaders over the last 20 plus years and love sharing their stories and insights. I hope you enjoy listening. I'm delighted to introduce Henry Bolton, Chief Innovation Officer and co-founder at Focus Band Technologies and also Frequency Technologies. Henry is an innovator, entrepreneur, and performance coach. His company, Focus Band Technologies, has created wearable brain sensing headsets that help people improve their performance. And Frequency Technologies is a brain analytics company. Henry, thank you for joining me on season 5, episode 3 of the Spotlight series, Don't You Survive, Thrive.
Thank you, Nicola. Thanks for having us today.
My absolute pleasure, and it's great to see you. Thank you very much for joining me. So, Henry, let's kick off. Tell me more about your personal story and your career so far.
Yeah, sure. I guess my background growing up as a kid, I was really obsessed with golf growing up, and that's sort of how I ended up in developing Focus Band. But along that journey, I studied electronics engineering, and I still kept playing high-level golf after I left school. And after I finished that electronics on my study, I realized there was a real opportunity to take technology into sport, obviously specifically golf. And so I started doing that. We started off with 3D sensors on the body, and we ended up working with some of the best golfers here in Australia, and ended up in Japan working on the Japan tour. During that time, we had them working on their, you know, their technique and their physical training. But there was always a piece missing. Like they would play great in their practice rounds. Come the tournament, they would, you know, they'd miss the cuts. So we realized that we had to start measuring the brain. So I came back to Australia, and I said to Dad that we need to start measuring the brain. Work out how we start measuring the mental process. And so that's how Focus Band actually started. We came back, started looking for devices, and there was no devices that could actually measure the brain while you're moving. So they call that artifacts. Mm. And so we set out to build a wearable product that could be used in motion. And so, yeah, we did that. And we were able to start, because we wanted to measure people while they're in motion, actually on the golf course. Like that's where everyone seemed to have the problems. Mm. And so we started to do that. And people started to hear about the product. Some of the guys on the US PGA Tour actually started to hear about it, and they said, can we try it? And then I ended up moving to the US with some of those players, ended up on the US PGA Tour, training a couple of golfers. I don't know if your viewers will know this, but these players' names. Worked with Jason Day. He went from 37th to number one in the world using our system, and then Justin Rose as well from seventh to number one. Yeah. So, yeah, that was how we got into it. And we saw an opportunity to pivot into wellness or mental health, but the better fit was actually workplace. So that's where we've gone down that path, and we've actually come up with a workplace engagement platform. So everything that we've learned in sport almost copied straight across into the workplace. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about that. And we pretty lucky again there. Our first customer was actually Facebook, where we did our first trials. So yeah, that was it was really exciting to work with him.
That's incredible. Those are some pretty big names. I don't, to be honest with you, golf, I don't know a great deal.
I do know
Cam Smith, but that's a pretty common name for sports people. So Cam Smith is from down the road from where we live. And then, of course, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods. That's about the extent of my golf knowledge. But it sounds to me that it's very much about your mind as it is about your physicality.
That's what we started to really work out. You can only go so far. Most people at the elite level, their technique and their physical training is almost at their limit. But the new frontier, or I guess the final frontier in sports performance, is the mental process. So, there's still a lot of opportunity there in sport. We're really doing sport, workplace, and sleep are the three areas we're looking at.
Absolutely. I was talking to a guy today whose father, who's almost totally blind, as in he can't see, but he's playing in the World Blind Golf Championships, which you would have thought would be pretty difficult. So he's got a caddy who lines everything up and tells him, this is probably not the right terminology for golf, goes out and helps him. But his success is very much based on his mind.
That's right.
And apparently he has a super time and it's fantastic. But I thought that was absolutely fascinating that you could play golf when you're blind. I'd have thought eyesight was really, really important in that particular circumstance.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy's father, he's just a tremendous character and loves life, and he's taken that on board, and becoming blind hasn't stopped him enjoying life, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going off at a tangent there, so let's get back onto you, Henry. Tell me a bit more about your career highlights and also the challenges you've experienced so far.
Sorry, I've sort of jumped ahead a little bit with the two golfers. I'll probably say the highlight.
I'm sorry.
Helping two golfers get to world number one. That they also won a gold medal in golf. And won the US PGA, a major. It's been really exciting in the golf side, and then workplace, getting a couple of those big companies like Facebook/Meta and a business out of Brisbane here, Enablo, was their biggest global partner. Just helping them increase flow state in the workplace is probably the highlight. The second one is challenges. I guess it's always just getting that right team together. Because I'm in both sides, on the development side of their app and then the actual performance coaching side, sort of crossover in there. Just making sure you have the right team is always crucial. Having people, really smart people around you to help deliver what you can see, this vision, and you just need to have the right people around you to get it done.
Absolutely. And how big's your team?
I've probably got about 8 people, a couple of us full-time here in Australia and then subcontractors around the world.
Excellent. So, focus bands. Tell me more about how a headset can help people improve their performance.
So our focus band, headband, basically has 3 sensors that sits on your forehead. So it basically just sits here. And that measures your brain frequency. So when your brain's constantly emitting brain frequencies, and those brain frequencies tell us what mental state you're in. So it's been around quite a long time. It's almost 100 years this year, actually. It's 100 years old, EEG, which is probably the longest word. It stands for electroencephalograph, is the the technical term for the word, but it's easier just to say EEG. Similar to that, you know, ECG or EKG of the heart. This is EEG of the
head. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So we pick up those brain frequencies, basically transmit that back to your mobile device. From there, we can display it in a useful format. So there's a whole heap of frequencies going on, but we can now display what state you're in. We can display 9 states, and you can see that on a graph in real time.
I saw your presentation at the Something Tech event last year, where you had everybody in their headsets, which was absolutely fascinating, and everything. And flow state, what is flow state, and why is it important, would you say?
Flow state's your optimal performance state. That's when everything sort of happens sort of effortlessly, almost on autopilot sometimes it feels like. It's a sort of weird state because the Eastern philosophy, we use the word mushin as well. The Japanese use that word. And mushin means mind of no-mindedness is the other way that you can interpret it. So the Western side's more optimal performance state. But the Eastern philosophy is more about mind of no mind. Yeah, it's an interesting state. It's free of emotion. So you free of judgment, you tend to just get whatever the task that you're trying to do, you get it done faster. It's an exciting state to be in. Yeah.
Yes. And it's interesting you told me before we started recording that you're having a baby in the next few months, your first baby. And I guess an excellent example, because I've got children who are in their teenage years, is children get themselves very much into that flow state, for example, when they're dancing or when they're drawing, before they become self-conscious and what have you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's actually our schooling system that makes them start thinking. The conscious mind takes over because we have to conform in the classroom to, you know, there's so many kids in the room. But before that, yeah, kids live in flow state pretty much up till they go to school. It's just, moving around, freewheeling it.
Absolutely. And this could be a whole other podcast about the things that children face now in terms of social media and all that kind of thing that has taken that freedom that I experienced and you probably did of your childhood and what have you. But we're going off. That is another podcast. And frequency technologies. Tell me a bit more about brain analytics.
So Frequency Technologies is the new company that we set up, so basically specifically for workplace. So the new product that we're delivering there will be Neuphoria, which is the workplace engagement platform. Yeah, we're really excited to start to launch that over the next, probably the next 6 to 8 weeks. Brain analytics company, it's really about providing insights and training for people to experience that sustained optimal performance. So a lot of people don't actually know what it feels like to be in a good state anymore. That's one of the things with the feedback, you can start to experience that again.
And the idea of euphoria sounds fabulous. That's like the ultimate in good flow. And what have you. Brain training. How can we improve workplace wellness, performance, sport performance, and sleep performance? How can brain training help you improve those aspects?
I guess the biggest or the most powerful thing when you're using EEG is the ability to know what state you're in and then give you feedback. So when you're in the flow state or if you're in the right sleep state, we can apply feedback. And by feedback, I mean when your brain frequencies reach that right state, we can turn on audio feedback. So music will play, So it can be an instrument. It can go up and down like the tone. It can also be the volume up and down as well. So, yeah, this combination of those two is what makes it so powerful. The accelerated learning using neurofeedback can be up to almost 10 times faster when you're learning a skill. Yeah, it's quite a big increase. So it's between 2 to 10 times faster. And 2 times faster is the older we get, the more baggage we've got. So it's harder to undo the problems. If kids use it, they're 10 times faster. So if we're teaching them a skill, let's just say golf, it used to take 1,000 reps to get to teach a skill. You can do it in about 100 to 150 reps. So it's a big improvement.
Wow.
The older you get, it gets closer to 400 to 500 balls. Yeah, 400 to 500 shots.
Well, I'm nearly feeling old enough to take up golf, so maybe. Sorry, my mum and dad play, so I think of it as being an older person's pursuit. That's amazing results. 10 times is incredible.
Yeah, it is quite amazing. That's where we're sort of really excited in the whole education space as well, eventually. Yeah, his ability to help kids. I know the kids are under massive pressure at the moment. The schooling system is quite intense now, even compared to my time. Yeah, the amount of homework and extra curricular activities they've got to do. Yeah, and just taking that stress off. I think exam pressure is probably the one that most kids struggle with the most. Just understanding what to do, how to get yourself in the right state can really help them.
Absolutely, definitely. And so a lot of what you do is about sports and in the workplace, but are you going to be going to schools as well with the brain analytics? And
sort of in the roadmap eventually, yeah. It is in the path, yeah. But, yeah, we're sort of staying narrow on the sport, workplace and sleep at the moment. But a lot of the stuff we've done in there can carry straight over into the education as well.
Because I know from my own personal experience with my own children, the stress, my eldest finished school last year, and year 11 particularly was so beyond stressful, which I think, and she's certainly not unique in that, and I can see that happening in my year 8 child as well. So if they can get into that state of flow and euphoria would be incredible. And then take that into the workplace or take it into sport or wherever their careers lead them and their interests as well. Mm-hmm. So going back to the workplace, mm-hmm. There was a stat that you quoted, so you'll have to tell me on that, but it's pretty huge, something like about 70 or 75% of workers are disengaged. So why do you think they're disengaged? And what do you think leaders can do to make them more engaged at work?
It's 79% of the workforce.
79.
Yes, you're close there. It's amazing. There's only 2 out of 10 people in the workplace engaged at the moment. So when you look around, and I think the big issue is everyone is time traveling into the future, or they're stuck in the past. Everyone doesn't know how to get back in the present moment. We really need a tool to make the person aware of where they're at and then give them tools to overcome that with the feedback. Feedback is the best. It's still the neurofeedback is still the best known way to train the brain. So that's what we're sort of suggesting, and that's why we're putting it into the workplace. We see there's a massive opportunity to help people out. Most people are coming home, you know, exhausted, stressed out. So, yeah, the ability to help people enjoy going into work is one thing. And then, yeah, being more efficient so they don't have to work as long. I'm part of this. I'd love to help people get as much out of their day in a short amount of time, yeah.
So they can enjoy life.
Exactly, yeah.
And I guess from what you say, it's to a certain extent, it's coming back to mindfulness. But quite a lot of people can think that's a bit too woo-woo. But you're doing has got that scientific basis to it as well. And there are figures and stats and true performance and what have you.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. The for business owners, it's really like if we increase flow by 20%, you can double your productivity. So you can go McKinsey, and this is a 10-year study, McKinsey. So the 20% increase in flow can double like 200% increase in productivity. And the other amazing stat was Gallup is a only a 10% increase in productivity is a 20% increase in revenue. So it's really got a direct correlation. Like getting in the flow helps productivity. Productivity helps revenue. So for the business owner, there's a direct link. It's always one of those cases like why would a business owner implement it? And obviously to help out the staff, but it also helps them grow as a business, you know, increase revenue is what every company is trying to achieve as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's not just living a mindful and happy life. It's actually got a huge return on investment from, you know, from the bottom line and revenue, et cetera, et cetera. So, Henry, coming back to you, you've had a really interesting life and had lots of the successes that you've mentioned. What do you think are your secrets? What are the secrets to your success, would you say?
It's probably coming through from my dad originally, is the pioneering sort of spirit. Going into a market that is sort of brand new. We've done it a couple of times together, actually, with other products as well, probably two or three times. Just believing anything's possible. If you've got a vision, things come to you, things present themselves when you've got an intent out there. So, yeah, just believing in yourself. And there's another word that probably is autonomy. Is probably another word that always comes through, which is like not being governed by pre-existing beliefs is probably another. Those two words, pioneering and autonomy, is probably my things that sort of drive me. Yeah.
Fantastic. Pioneering and autonomy.
Yes.
I shall quote that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And you've had all these successes, but would you turn if you could turn the clock back, would you do anything differently?
I probably would have simplified what our offering is. Yeah, just making it clear. That's always, when you're doing startups, you explain everything too much. You've really got to dumb that down to step one, two, three. That's about as much as anyone can take in. So, yeah, keeping it really simple. And then probably say, yeah, going through from startup to scale up is making sure you have the right team. Yeah, on sales side, yeah, having dedicated sales team and marketing, those two together. And then on the tech side, yeah, making sure you have good UX, UI, I guess, and the data. Data is king in everything. So I probably would have, when everyone knows how important data is, but yeah, just really understanding how to visualize that data is probably the biggest thing that we've come away with.
Fantastic. Data is the new gold. Sorry, I say data because I'm English. I feel like a fake if I say data. It's interesting what you say as well about simplification. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have loads of amazing ideas. And can get distracted by having all those ideas, but keeping in one lane at a time, would you say as well?
Yeah, I think that's you can go very broad, especially with a product like ours. You can have, there's probably 20 markets we can go into. So just making sure that we stay narrow and go right to the end on that particular market. Like obviously we went all the way down with golf. And now we're doing workplace, just to make sure that you stay, get to the end with that, and then you can duplicate that at the end. Yeah.
And you stayed in your lane and completed one thing before moving on to the next thing, which I think is a real secret there. I know I get too many ideas sometimes, which is what a lot of entrepreneurial people tend to be like. Well, Henry, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
We covered everything there. Yeah, it's been great to speak with you today. It's good to relive some of those memories again. Yeah, so yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I think, as you say, it's nice to talk through things and you go, oh, yeah, that was actually pretty cool that I did that. But thank you very much. And lovely to speak to you. Thank you, Henry.
Thank you, Nicola.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review. The Don't Just Survive, Thrive podcast is part of the Spotlight series, which includes the YouTube channel Spotlight on Software Development. If you want more insights into the software industry, particularly purpose-led tech startups and scale-ups, then subscribe to this channel. Thank you for listening. Until next time.